Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt University Health and Wellness Wellcast. I'm Ralph Topham with Work-Life Connections, EAP.
I'm here today with Mary Early-Zald, who is a doctor of clinical psychology. She's also in private practice as an academic and professional life coach. And Mary, thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
The reason I've asked you here today is I'd like to ask you some questions about your profession as a coach. As a leader here at Vanderbilt, if I've got a team, how might I go about looking at the skills within that team to decide if the team is functioning effectively or if there are things that I may need to do to make it work more effectively?
I think when we're looking at members of our team, looking at their skills, I'm so glad that you used that word, because we can talk about leadership skills and we can talk about leadership traits. Leadership traits are described quite a bit. However, those tend to be inborn qualities that we can't do a lot about. Whereas skills are easily observable behaviors, which we can develop. People can learn skills, they can develop skills. And some are more developed and some are less developed, but we can do something about those behaviors. There are a number of different types of leadership skills which are discussed in the literature, and I've looked at a number of these and kind of divided those into interpersonal skills, skills between people, and individual skills or intrapersonal skills. To discuss interpersonal skills, to me, the fundamental group of interpersonal skills that's so crucial is communication. I think it's very difficult to be an effective leader without good communication skills. And this is a broad area that encompasses a lot of different behaviors. But the skills that I could touch on briefly include listening. I think that listening is the primary communication skill. We have to listen first before we can communicate effectively, but also including communicating good and clear feedback, communicating clearly, telling people exactly what they need to hear and doing so respectfully. So balancing those two things. Teaching can be a communication skill. So good leaders have an interest in helping others develop by giving them clear information on what they need to do. They develop their skills in how to clearly do the job or the task at hand.
And within that, they might also delegate and let the other person really do the job rather than telling them specifically how to do it. Sort of coaching them, in fact, as they grow in their ability to do that job.
That's right. Delegation is a very important leadership skill which benefits everybody. This is something that oftentimes leaders forget to do, and it's very important for them to learn how to do that because it helps the individuals around them grow and develop and move to the best in themselves. And it helps the leader to be the most effective because they aren't doing everything themselves. And delegation is incredibly important, delegating effectively, yes.
Is communication something that I might do effectively by email, or are there other ways that I should intervene or communicate with my team?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of times people, especially in today's world, depend almost entirely on email for their communication, and that can create quite a problem with the people they work with in at least two ways that I can just think of off the top of my head. For one, it can create a distance with the people they work with.
True.
Number two, I have found that while email is a fine mode of communication for a number of situations, particularly when you're trying to attach material to send to an individual or group of people, or when you're just simply communicating something very briefly, you just need to answer a question or whatever, then it's fine. But once you're having an exchange with people, an individual I mean, and once things are starting to get tense, or you're starting to disagree with someone, and you're finding that things are starting to get heated, I have found that that is the time when I need to switch modalities. For the vast majority of people, a different modality is called for, and that needs to be by voice, whether it's picking up the phone or talking in person. Now, as I say that, it's usually the case that, you know, for some people, going immediately to a conversation is fine, but for others, there needs to be a cooling off period before that conversation happens. But if we're really aware of what's going on and we kind of nip it in the bud before it escalates too far, oftentimes if you just pick up the phone, then you can clarify any potential misunderstandings before it goes too far and you're just fine. That's the thing about email. There's so much that's missed in email that you can get in a voice-to-voice conversation.
Exactly.
Another interpersonal skill is team building, helping a team work effectively. And this includes a number of different skills, including finding the best person for the job. Within the team, looking at people's strengths and helping people bring out those strengths by encouraging them to do tasks which capitalize on those strengths. Encouraging the team. I think strong leaders reinforce the team when they do a good job and really point out the positives. That really generates positive energy, and teams really follow people who do that. Teams need information, and so effective leaders communicate information clearly and with the right amount of frequency to their team. The two final interpersonal skills I want to mention, conflict management is a skill that's absolutely crucial for leaders. It's a skill that people often shy away from because people don't like conflict. And if someone's going to be in a position of any kind of leadership or doing any kind of leadership, no matter what kind of leadership that is, they're going to be coming across conflict at some point, and they can't get away from that. It's important to recognize that people need to develop the skills to deal with that, and that there's different styles of conflict management that apply to different situations, and that it's important to learn how to do that, because it's going to be the best thing for everybody involved.
Well, as new teams form, or as people leave teams, then the team itself and the way they interact change.
Mm-hmm.
And new ways have to be developed for that team to function, and
mm-hmm.
that is conflict.
That's right.
There's going to be conflict there. Mm-hmm. It has to be dealt with in an effective way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the final interpersonal skill that I want to mention is cultural competence. So in our world, which has been diverse for a very long time, in our workplaces, which have become increasingly diverse, it's so important to always stay on top of their cultural competency skills so that we can constantly be aware as much as possible when we're engaging in cross-cultural interactions and how we can most effectively do that.
Well, thank you again.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us any comments on this Wellcast by clicking the Add New Comment link at the bottom of this page. If you have a story suggestion, please email it to us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu, or you can use the Contact Us link on our website at healthandwellness.vanderbilt.edu. That health and wellness is all one word. Thank you again.